Good evening and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I am John Milford, chair of the club's Grown-Ups Forum and your host for today. We also welcome our listening audience and we invite everyone to visit us online at commonwealthclub.org. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker, Gail Geary. Gail is board president, member, and one of the founders of San Francisco Village. After 40 years in marketing and communications and as a partner in a San Francisco advertising agency, Gail shifted gears and became a consultant for nonprofit organizations. Using the strategic planning skills she developed for a multitude of well-known companies, Gail has become an advocate for enabling older adults to remain in their own homes as they age. Gail has served on a number of boards, including the French American International School, Partners Ending Domestic Abuse. She's also brought her strategic and creative thinking to organizations such as the Department of Health Services, Office of Family Planning, the Lighthouse for the Blind, the Boys and Girls Clubs of San Francisco, the Women's Initiative for Self-Employment, and Congregation Emmanuel. A native of Montreal, Quebec, Gail has lived in San Francisco for 37 years. She's married, has two sons, a stepdaughter, and four step-grandchildren. Let us welcome Gail Geary.
Thank you so much, John. It's truly a pleasure to be here today, and it's wonderful to see this tremendous turnout. I don't think any of us were expecting this, but it's fabulous. And I'm not here alone. There are actually people who are here from San Francisco Village, so they would be good people to turn to if you have questions. Our founder and the originator, the spark of San Francisco Village, is here. Mary Moore Gaines, and it's Mary Moore Gaines, like Mary Jane. So it takes a while to learn that. And also members Judy and Don Langley, who play a big role in the grown-ups group. And there are other members also. The Ehrlichs are here, my husband Michael Levine, and Richard Crone, I see him over there, and very close friends who are here to support and back me up. So before I go any further, what I'd like to do is just ask how many people, and maybe you can give me a show of hands, of how many people are familiar with the Village Movement. So that's a really good number. Well, maybe about a third of you. And then how many are familiar with the New York Times article that was printed a while ago about Beacon Hill Village? So about a little fewer. So for those of you who are not as aware of villages as others, let me tell you what a village is by first telling you what we say about San Francisco Village. As part of an innovative national movement, San Francisco Village is designed to enable older adults to live active, vibrant, and connective lives in their own homes, in their own neighborhoods, as they age. Through our programs and collaborations with many San Francisco organizations, we offer a rich and varied range of services, activities, and programs, as well as guidance and support to our members. I'm not quite used to having a speech. I usually talk off the cuff, but 30 minutes is a bit too long to do that. The whole concept of the village has grown organically from individuals who are concerned and proactive about what happens to them as they age and the decisions they have to make about their futures. I don't know about you, but my husband Michael and I have spent hours talking about where we would live if we didn't live in San Francisco. We list all the criteria of places that we would consider, and then list the places that meet those criteria. In fact, on one very long, boring trip to Los Angeles on Route 5, which I hate, I took notes as we discussed the many options. But we are like so many people right here in this room, I would guess, who love where we live and don't really want to move somewhere else. In truth, 93% of older Americans want to remain in their own homes as they age. In 2002, a group of residents of Beacon Hill in Boston were sitting around a kitchen table talking about this very subject. From that coffee clutch, the first village, Beacon Hill Village, was born. And on February 9th, 2006, 4 years later, an article appeared in the New York Times called Aging at Home, For a Lucky Few, a Wish Come True. Thousands of people were riveted by Jane Gross's article about Beacon Hill Village. In fact, Beacon Hill Village received 3,000 calls the very next day from people who wanted to know how they had done that. Can you imagine those phone lines getting clogged up? So in San Francisco, which is more relevant to all of us because we live here, Mary Moore Gaines, the former rector of St. James Episcopal Church on California Street, was sitting in her office when a young parishioner called saying, "We have to do this." She said, "Do what?" And he went on to talk about the New York Times article. That was the genesis of San Francisco Village. After 3 years, maybe it was more Mary Moore, wasn't it? After 3 years of careful planning and fundraising, we launched in January 2009, and the fun began, and the hard work began as well. Personally, I was drawn to Mary Moore, and I still am, and she knows that very well, and her steering committee after I, too, had read the article. At first, I decided to start a village in my own neighborhood, Jordan Park, but thankfully, I became part of a very experienced and talented group of individuals who had created some very successful nonprofit organizations, like Alumni Resources, the Ed Fund, and Enterprise for High School Students. I was passionate about this issue. My husband Michael's mother was in Florida, living independently when she was diagnosed with multiple myeloma. At the urging of her daughter, she sold her condo and moved into an assisted living residence. She hated it. She rebelled, which was a good thing for her, but maybe not for the people who worked at the assisted living place. But unfortunately, she never adjusted to her new life. She died feeling frustrated and angry over the loss of the life that she had loved. As a result, both Michael and I have become advocates and joined the village so that we could be in charge of our own lives as we age. We are not alone. As of today, there are 65 villages in operation and 120 more that are in development. There is a village-to-village network in which villages and other related organizations join together to improve services, plan for growth, and learn from each other. After being in the corporate world for 40 years, I am in awe, truly in awe, of the tremendous spirit of collaboration and sharing between existing villages and startups. There are 172 member organizations of the village-to-village network, of which 37% are urban, 37% are suburban, and 11% are rural. They all have their own challenges, whether we're clustered like in San Francisco or whether you're in Berkeley, in Concord. There are many different models as well to meet the needs of people who want to live and be part of villages. There have been 52,000 visitors to the Village to Village website from 89 different countries. Interest in the village movement is not only national, but as you can see, it's international. There is obviously a huge hunger for this option of aging among our population. In fact, the second national village gathering is taking place in Oakland right now, and the title of the program is Bridging the Gap from Startup to Sustainability. And John actually was there all day, and he's going to be there for the next 2 days, which is fabulous. I'm going to be there for the next 2 days myself. Having come from a consumer marketing background, I like to say that we are a new category in a complex, confusing, and crowded arena called aging. We are what I call a low-tech innovation because we're all about relationships, not technology, even though that helps support what we're doing. I also like to say we are creating sustainable aging, a kind of ecological approach, no new buildings or equipment, no traumatic transitions, and no more putting the burden of long-term care on one caregiver. We are utilizing services and programs that already exist, and we are not overusing valuable resources, either physical or spiritual. As Gail Sheehy says in her book, Passages in Caregiving, the concept of aging in community attracts people over 50 who are passionate about wanting to remain in all three rings of the circus of life, not hidden in retirement homes waiting for the escalator to heaven. Now, I just want to say this because this is something I've learned. When we first started doing the village, I thought our primary competition were assisted living and retirement homes, but it's really not. Our main competition is our lack of movement to take charge of our own aging. And so even though there is an opportunity, many different opportunities, the village option is one that is probably right now the least expensive. But our biggest barrier is people saying, I'm not ready yet. We have people in their 90s saying to us, I'm not ready yet. And the point is that we're building this together. It's not about being ready. It's about joining in and helping create this very important option. So it's not about the assisted living residences or retirement places. It's really about our own attitude. We're talking about a lifestyle here, not a place to go. So, let me tell you what constitutes a village. How is it different from a NORC, which means naturally occurring retirement community? And there are lots of those in big high-rise apartment buildings and condo complexes. Or a CCRC, which is a continuing care retirement community, or co-housing. First, the word village is an important one. Many different terms were used in the beginning, like aging in place and elders at home. What do you think of those? None of these really worked. For one thing, the word aging. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be reminded about getting older. Even though I am going to my 50th high school reunion very excitedly on Thursday. And I don't want to age in place. It makes me sound like a French cheese and a really smelly one at that. And elders at home, maybe for my grandmother, but not for me. So quickly the word village gained hold in Beacon Hill. After all, it is a village if you've ever been there. Or it could be. The word itself taps into a memory of a time when neighbors not only knew neighbors, but also helped each other. It harkened back to the good old days and rekindled in us the same desire to belong, to be in community, and to share in caring for each other. Indeed, it really does take a village, not just for children, but also for adults. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal in 2006, Freda Vladek, director of the United Hospital Fund Aging in Place Initiative, said that the forms of caring for older people were designed for a different time, a different population, a different challenge. It doesn't take into account that we all live in the context of a community, and the older we get, the more important the role of community. Our system of Medicare is delivering this to older people in a fashion she called one hip fracture at a time. Comparing the young and the old, she went on to talk about how so much activity goes on for mothers at the playground, where more stuff gets done. Play dates are planned, and young mothers make friends with each other. What is that outlet for older people? Aside from the Commonwealth Club, of course. What is the structure that, for that? It is certainly not the senior center. Thus, what started as aging in place has become aging in community. Let me outline why this distinction is important and compare the mindset of each. Overall, aging in place connotes receiving services and support regardless of one's residential setting. Aging in community implies being connected to services, social and non-medical supports, the larger community, and maintaining one's normal life at home. To further illustrate the differences between aging in place and aging in community, let me give you three more examples. The goal, and remember that word goal, for aging in place is to avoid institutionalization, while the goal for aging in community is fostering interdependence. And we all know how that important that word is. Stephen Covey coined that word, I don't know how many years ago, 20 or 30 years ago, and it really applies today. We're all responsible for each other, and we're all in it together. And the other thing is, we can't do this alone. It is too complex. We really, really need each other. With aging in place, this is the second distinction, one takes individual responsibility. And with aging in community, there is communal responsibility. One more comparison. Two different views of aging. Aging in place views its task as avoidance of bad things. So the view of aging with aging in place is avoidance, and aging in community looks at aging as an opportunity to grow. This is not a period of decline for us. This is a period of freedom where we can explore what we've spent our whole lives wanting to do but have had to put off because of career and family. So a number of our members, and also not just members, but in the older adult community, people are taking up things like artwork, photography, writing, joining writing groups. People are writing books in their mid-50s. Actually, my very good friend Martian Guggenheim is now pursuing photography very, very seriously after raising her children and also contributing in a major way at Temple Emmanuel by starting the caring community there. So that's just one example of how we flower and how we really want to engage, not step back. Here's a San Francisco Village example of how community can work. A small group of our members wanted the village to provide care for people coming home from hospitals or rehab facilities. They, the members, not the staff, created something they called the Transition to Home Program. With the leadership of three members, the involvement of two board members who are also members, and supported by staff, We have designed and are launching a 5-part hospital-to-home program, including partnering with several San Francisco hospitals who turn out to be very supportive and encouraging. And we all know with the new medical directives, it is in the best interest of the hospitals to make sure that we don't land back in the hospital with the same problem we were admitted for in the first place. They will be penalized. Our members have also started a number of member-led and attended programs, such as Things That Matter as We Age, a very popular reading group, a book club, the Lunch Bunch, which dines at lunch at many different restaurants throughout the city, experimenting with all different kinds of cuisines. And the main criteria is that they go to restaurants that will actually divide up the bill individually. And that's one of the screeners when we phone up and make reservations. It's also a great way for new members to be integrated into San Francisco Village. And then Mary Moore was instrumental in starting a group called, a discussion series called The Art of Living, which I think she's going to resurrect very, very soon. And it will be more of a spirituality group. And we're just starting a new film group in 2 weeks. Some of our educational programs have included a balance workshop, and I don't mean in life, but physical, and organized by our member and your friend here, Judy Langley. It was fabulous. It sold out. We were at UCSF over in Mission Bay, and there was a leader there. What was her name, Judy? Trisha?
Erica.
And she had this whole group of interns and training phys ed therapists who spotted for us. So as we were doing all these things in learning how to balance and to be able to bring some of these exercises home, nobody at any time was not fully safe. There was always somebody there as a backup, which is terrific. And that's really a good analogy also for the village. It's about backup. So we did balance. We did a 2-part advanced healthcare directive seminar, and we partnered with Kaiser. And the first part was handing out the forms and showing us what we had to do. The second part was making sure we filled out the forms properly. And then the forms were notarized, which is really a big deal. And it involved also how to talk with family members, how to deal with the difficult issues when you're making your plans for advanced healthcare directives. We've had a couple of talks about brain health. We had an interactive discussion about the role of humor in staying healthy. And in November, we will have a workshop on bone health, where our members will not only learn about it, but they'll also have bone scans done at the same time. We also have had speakers and authors events, including Gail Sheehy talking about her new book on passages in caregiving. We had an event with Belva Davis where she talked about her new memoir. And then also just recently we had we partnered on an event with Dr. Walter Bortz at UCSF, and he talked about a new book of his, which was Next Medicine, but he's the author of Dare to be 100. And he actually, I can't remember exactly how many miles he jogs every week, but he's a marathoner, and so is his wife, and he's in his 80s, and he has not slowed down one bit. In fact, his whole mantra is, don't slow down, keep moving. And very importantly, we're planning an event with the Commonwealth Club on April 26th with Mark Friedman, and he's the author, and he has a brand new book called The Big Shift. You might ask at this point, why do we need this? Doesn't the government or aging support organizations provide enough already? Well, the answer is they do and they don't. They do for the lower income sector, but do not for the middle income group. The village concept is the brainchild of the middle class, and it fills a necessary gap. This economic group, my very own group, actually has fewer affordable options for services as they age than any others. People with lower incomes tend to have a multitude of free services available to them, especially in urban areas like San Francisco. Higher income people, the people in the top income brackets, pay as they go without too much hardship. I mean, no matter what, it's a hardship. But it is the middle income population that is caught without sufficient resources. We don't have as many choices because we don't qualify for most of the services that are free to low income residents. And we cannot afford the high costs of options that wealthier people can. So as Gail Sheehy asks in her book, who will take care of us? And she answers, we will. The truth is, we have no choice. But happily, it's an idea that fits perfectly with our sense of who we are as a generation. In my experience, we are fiercely independent and want to remain so. We don't want to grow old alone. Many of us in San Francisco don't have children or spouses, and this is especially true of the LGBT community. Those of us who have them don't want to be a burden on our children, and we really don't want to be parented by our children and told what to do. And most of all, we don't want to end up in a nursing home unless or until it's absolutely necessary. And for some of us, it will be. Now, you may say to yourself, I'm already living in my own home and have lots of social contacts, so why do I need a village? Well, being a member of the village has its privileges. On a macro level, you'll become involved in something very familiar, harkening back to your activist days in the 60s. You will be part of a national movement that is changing the experience of aging for older adults. And the byproduct of that, which is so important, is hopefully we're going to change the image of people who are aging and try to blot out some of the aging that we experience in our own lives. So you will be creating a viable and dynamic option for aging baby boomers and beyond. For the adult children of aging parents, this is a viable and satisfactory solution for providing for their parents with a minimum amount of disruption with their own lives. Jane Gross, that author I keep mentioning of the New York Times article, spoke at last year's village gathering about caring for her mother as she was aging. She and her mother were frightened, desperate, and lacked resources. They had no plan in place until the first crisis happened. But with a village, Jane says her life would have been easier, and her mother's life would have been much easier. For me, I know the idea of empowering people to live independently and in their own homes started 34 years ago. My own mother was diagnosed with kidney cancer. Too late. 6 months after she had surgery and chemotherapy, her cancer had spread. I was on a fast career track in San Francisco. She lived in Toronto. But at the same time, I just knew I had to be there for her. I took an indefinite leave of absence and moved into her apartment in Toronto for the duration. And truthfully, I spent 5 quality months with my mother. We shared secrets and experiences. We talked about things we had never talked about and gave each other a gift that was priceless. But I didn't do it alone. There was my sister, my childhood friends, my parents' friends, the Victorian Order of Nurses, that's very Canadian, probably very English, and very fortunately, a doctor who made house calls. So that was very important to us. The experience changed me forever in the best possible way. Because I had a built-in community, my experience was different than Jane's, easier and more meaningful, which is why I so believe in the idea of aging in community. But my experience and Jane Gross's are not unique. One in four households cares for an older adult, and many caregivers fall into the sandwich generation. I know a lot of you in this room have had that happen. Yet Medicare and other government programs do not pay for in-home long-term care. You have to get that on your own. Families spend $38 billion out of pocket each year caring for their older family members. Also, more than 35 million family caregivers contribute each year more than 1,000 hours in caregiving services valued conservatively at $350 billion. The village concept is one avenue we must explore to resolve this problem. But there are more benefits to village life. We get to continue living our lives just as we always have among our friends, our families, and all the familiar things that fill our lives. For instance, I enjoy a wide variety of people in my neighborhood. I love it when I go to Laurel Village and run into at least four people I know. Just ask my husband, because I report back to him. I saw Ellen, and I saw Mary Moore, and I saw Gladys Thatcher. That's a bit of name dropping. And I'm thrilled when my kids just drop in to say hi, because they can. They live here. I love seeing all the young mothers with their baby strollers, and I also love seeing the grandmothers. Let's face it, I really just love being in my neighborhood. Moreover, the village gives neighborhood residents like me the practical means and the confidence to enjoy life to the fullest, no matter what age. Plus, it goes farther. It combats the potential for isolation, for creating opportunities for people to create social capital now and for the future, connecting members to social activities, and many of those social activities they've created themselves, connecting members with the services they need when they need them, helping with day-to-day tasks and activities, providing regular check-in calls, providing access to an array of health, wellness, volunteer, social, and cultural opportunities, and all with just one phone number to call. And of all the places in America, San Francisco is the most prime for an activist village solution. San Francisco Business Times stated that San Francisco is already the grayest major metropolis in the country, and this was written in January 2008. 14.7% of San Franciscans are 65 years or older, versus 9.7% in LA, 11.2% in the rest of California, and 12.8% in the U.S. In 20 years, 40% of our population in San Francisco will be 60 years or older. With baby boomers reaching 65 and expected to live 15 more years on average, the senior population in San Francisco will put incredible pressure on all the services and resources of the city, calling for new and innovative approaches in aging. While there has been a boom in residential care options for the middle and upper classes, the cost can be prohibitive. Monthly fees start at $4,000 in many Bay Area facilities and can reach $7,000 or more depending upon the level of service you need. For many, villages are an affordable alternative for now to assisted living. And it's also a way to protect our financial legacy, which we've heard from a number of people. The village movement is designed to provide a full range of services and resources, from health and wellness to social, educational, cultural, practical daily living solutions. We have over 100 service providers that we have pre-screened for our members, and opportunities to share, volunteer, and give back. When San Francisco Village formed, we had a number of principles we followed. As I said earlier, the goal of villages is to create strategic partnerships rather than reinvent services or offerings. and we devoted a lot of energy to this. The Institute of Aging was one of our first partners and has been a staunch supporter from the beginning. In fact, our offices are in their new building on Geary Boulevard, and we are the only unaffiliated organization housed there. Other partners include Jewish Family and Children's Services, the Institute on Health and Healing, Enterprise for High School Students, yes, teenagers, and they help us with a number of different projects, whether we have events and they come and help us with catering. One of our members actually, one of our volunteers for Enterprise is helping one of our members who can no longer write but wants to write a novel. And she has been assigned to him so that she can write longhand from dictation for what he wants to get across. It's really quite extraordinary. We are committed to providing high-quality services, and as I said, we pre-screen our service providers. To acquire new members, we meet in people's homes, giving people the opportunity to learn about us, but more importantly, for us to learn about them. Just by talking to with people this way, we raised $80,000 in individual donations to ensure our launch. We have also been the recipients, very fortunate recipients, of a number of grants to help us hire 2 full-time staff people and develop our offerings. We also decided to provide a number of our services for free so that our members would have tangible benefits of membership. Transportation, computer assistance, in-home safety checks, and grocery shopping when needed. Our goal is to provide these services and many more with volunteers who are being trained by us to work with our members. And if not a volunteer, then by one of our pre-screened service providers. Currently, we have 140 members from all over the city. The Richmond District, Presidio Heights, Pacific Heights, Cow Hollow, Mission Bay, Noe Valley, Golden Gate Heights, and even the Financial District. We call ourselves a hub and spoke model, and each spoke is called a neighborhood circle. Spoke doesn't sound very appealing. These neighborhood circles have the support of our staff, our volunteer network, our partnerships, and our service providers, but the neighborhood circles will create their own identities that meet that neighborhood's specific character and needs. I'm going to just quickly, how many minutes do I have left, John? Keep going. To illustrate this, we received a note from one of our members that might better explain what a circle is. San Francisco Village, she says, San Francisco Village has created a zip code pod. See, the name nomenclature is not quite down. For San Francisco Village members who live near me, we had a meeting to get to know each other so we can be there when we need each other. The other day, we had a potluck dinner and had a great time with lots of laughs. I know I have a community from the San Francisco Village who will be there for me, and I can be there for them. As a close to this talk, I would like to read a manifesto that we created but have not totally released. Mary Moore, this is a surprise for you. Listening to our members talk about why they joined San Francisco Village, you too, the Langleys, and what they want from this stage of life. We call this the San Francisco Village Declaration of Independence. And I'd like you all to hear it now. So I need to talk in an authoritative voice, but I'm just going to keep talking the way I'm talking. Let's embrace aging by staying active, curious, and interested. Let's use our lifetime experience and wisdom to enrich others. Let's stay in our homes, the places that we cherish, and remain integral members of our communities. Let's make San Francisco a model for independently living seniors. Let's make aging amazing. So thank you so much for your time. It's been a real pleasure.
We'd like to remind our listening audience that this is a program with the Commonwealth Club of California, and you're listening to Gail Geary with Let's Make Aging Amazing. I'm John Milford, Chair of the Grown-Ups Forum, and I'll be moderating today's audience question period. Gail, we have a large number of questions, so let's begin.
Great.
Do the villages take political positions on matters regarding seniors?
So far, I don't think we take political positions. You know what? Let me go if you hear me. Question. But we do. We really do advocate for people staying in their own homes and living vibrant and creative and engaged lives. So we don't take a political position. I think that's up to the individual, and we wouldn't want to impose our political beliefs on other people. And I know I get messages from AARP almost daily to help them support the fight to maintain Medicare, but that's up to each individual.
Gail, are you a 501c3 not-for-profit?
We are a 501c3 not-for-profit.
Well, that answers the question. Can't do it. All right. In the village movement, what happens when people are not so active? Are any home modifications encouraged, i.e. universal design?
We want people to be who they are. So if they don't want to be active, that's all right. But we still want to reach out to them so that they know that we care about them. And it's really important whether our members want to engage with us, we definitely want to engage with them in a way that's not pestering or bothering them. And one of the things that we have is a home. We do an interview when we have members. We're not up to date. I'm meeting with the Ehrlichs on Monday. But we go into people's homes and hear what they need, what they want, how they want to live their lives, what are their goals. And we, if needed and if wanted, we have a couple of service providers that will give 1 hour of free home safety evaluation. And then for a cost, they will add those different things that are needed in the home. Michael and I were just talking about putting in one of those bars in the bathtub, and that's something that I'm sure if we had a home evaluator come in, they would recommend that for both our bathtubs.
All right, thank you. Here's a late-breaking question.
Oh, good.
What is the average age of your members?
I didn't put it in there because I wanted that as a question. So the average age is 72. And it's a mix of both couples and single people. And I can say it's diverse in terms of being middle class. We don't have the level of diversity that we want ethnically.
All right. Here's a multi-part question. What kind of services are available to members? Transportation, handyman, visiting nurses, dog walking, food preparation, and or delivery, plumber?
Okay, did somebody just take that off of our brochure? Because it's all there. we like to provide free transportation for our members. I think it's 4 times a year. But truly, as our volunteer network gets stronger and stronger, we want to be able to provide that no matter what. And there was one thing here, handyman. Oh, my God. We have Gates the handyman, and everybody loves him. We're thinking of having one day that is handyman day. Another day we're thinking of having is mattress flipping day. And we do all the rest here.
Gail, does it take a village to support a senior? Are memberships or contributions tax deductible, and what are the dues?
Great. It does take a village, and it takes a village because we're all in this together. We have to look out for each other, and it's really important. For example, I was at a village meeting, and we were talking about who was going to be at this event. We're having this big fundraising event called Discovered Treasures. And somebody, we were asking about different people, and they said, oh, no, Ralph's in France. Oh, and Don Ming, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say last names, but Don's in Asia right now. It's amazing how we know what a number of us are doing, but not enough. We really are ramping that up in a way that's going to make a big difference. Memberships are not a contribution, but are not tax deductible, but donations are tax deductible. Our dues right now are $50 a month for a one-person household, $62.50 for a two-person household, and for people who qualify, we have reduced fee memberships, and we take on a certain number of those every year, and that's growing.
Here. Thank you, Gail. Does the village receive a commission for services it offers? Or do members get a discount because of the volume of business the vendors get?
Neither way. The villagers get a discount because we've negotiated a discount with them to be able to, we have a number of people who do, and again, Gates the handyman is a good example, where he has a special rate for San Francisco Village members, as do other service providers. We don't get commissions for the services we offer, nor do our members get a discount because of the volume of business.
All right. How diverse ethnically is the village movement?
We're very lacking in that. And it's something that we want to fix. We have a smattering of different ethnicities. But as somebody I just recently talked with, it has to start at the board level. And so, people want to see themselves in the organization. So it's an important endeavor and initiative that we're going to get to. Mary Moore, would you say in the next year or two? Putting you on the spot tomorrow.
Here are two related questions. Can anybody start a village? What do you need as a foundation or starting point? And the similar question is, I'm interested in starting a circle, so how should I proceed?
Okay, that's a two-part question. Anybody can start a village, but you must have stamina. You must have a lot of people working with you. My husband says I'm actually not married to him, but I'm married to the village. And he's right. I've learned now, after much discussion, to make him the priority, but I sneak it in. I sneak in village work. So you really have to raise quite a bit of money. They're different models, so if you are in San Francisco and submitted this question, please talk to me, because that's part of our hub and spoke model, the same with the circle. We don't want other people to have to go to all the organization and hard work in creating this infrastructure. We want to help other circles and neighborhoods have that and not have to hire an executive director, not have to hire a volunteer manager. We want to be able to provide that structure for other neighborhood circles.
Gail, do you have any relationship to the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute or Fromm Institute or other educational endeavors for older people?
We do, but they're dotted line. Really. We've spoken at the Fromm Institute a couple of times. I don't know how many members actually go to Fromm, but it's a huge percent, and they love it. And then Oli, we've partnered on, co-sponsored different events with them. Both are really fine organizations, and as is the Commonwealth Club.
Blessed are you who say that. Gail, is there guidance available for starting a village in, say, San Diego or another region to avoid repeating mistakes others have learned from what's been done already?
There are actually two, I think potentially three villages that are really active in the San Diego area. They're fabulous. So the Village to Village Network is a nonprofit itself. If you want to look up more information, go to www.vtovnetwork.org. And you can just go on there. You can check and see where all the villages are. You can look at it by geographic area, things like that. It's a wealth of information. Yes, www.v2v.org, network.org, v2vnetwork.org.
Is that T-O or the number two?
No, I'm sorry, good, T-O.
Gail, as a nonprofit, does the village have paid positions or is it all volunteer?
We have two paid positions, an executive director and a volunteer and member services manager. And I don't know if any village can really sustain itself without having a really good core of volunteers. You can't serve San Francisco or even any neighborhood without a really strong core of volunteers.
All right. How are homebound people incorporated into the various functions and activities?
Well, I actually have a story about that. One of our members is in a wheelchair, and she lives probably on the steepest hill in Noe Valley. And she joined. She's fabulous. She's such an interesting person. And we were having our first member birthday party, actually a birthday party. And we arranged for her to get to be brought to the party by Silver Ride in her wheelchair. And it, when she got there, people would come up to us and say, oh, I haven't seen her out at a social activity for 2 years. And now she actually bought a van. We have volunteers who help her go to the events that she wants to. And she's just one example of taking care of members. And if people can't come to us, I visit a number of members on my own, and especially when they're not well. But I think it's one of those things that we can do. We can manage. If we can't manage it, we turn to our partners like the Institute on Aging, and they help evaluate the situation because we don't want to make medical recommendations. So we turn to our experienced expert partners to help us with those members in need.
All right. Gail, does the village intervene when they see or hear of a member who seems in need of more services than they're receiving and doesn't ask for them?
So in a sense, that's a two-part question, too, because a lot of members don't ask for help. We had one member who phoned. We were having a member party, an art show, and she phoned the office and talked to our executive director, and she said, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to be able to make the event today. And our executive director said to her, well, where are you? Are you at an airport? She said, no, I'm in the emergency room. I just fell and broke an ankle or a hip or something serious like that. So our whole approach now is to be much more proactive in reaching out to people, because people in our generation and older feel, I guess, inhibited is the right word, in asking for help. One of our members just recently has been having more issues with memory problems, and our member services manager actually went to the building. Oh, she hadn't answered her phone in a couple of days, and so somebody reported it to the office. The office called, went over to her house, checked in on whether she was all right or not, found out that her phone was out of order, talked to the superintendent of her apartment building, who gave us the name for her niece. She actually was having trouble driving. Since then, her car has been taken away from her reluctantly, but we've provided alternatives for her, and we make sure she gets to go to all the events she wants to go to because we pick her up and take her there. Does that answer the question?
What do you have going in Marin County, and what is the cost?
We don't have anything going in Marin County, but Marin Village is in Marin County, a sister village. And Marin Village has pods, just like we're doing. There's Sausalito Village. I think there's about four or five different villages that are under the auspices of Marin Village. It costs less, but they... just so you know, the fees to belong to villages go the whole spectrum. It costs $200 to join Marin Village, but a lot of what they're doing is over the internet. And we know in this, what we're doing is much more high touch, so we can't rely just on the internet. And it's a very good organization, very strong.
Historically, I think Bolinas has always been a village.
Yes.
Let's see. How can one try the village living without committing to a full membership? In other words, can I try it out? How?
Okay, who is that person? My very good friend, Ellen. So, of course you can try it out, but like anything in life, it's better to jump in with 2 feet rather than a toe. That's all I can say. We'll talk later, Ellen.
Unfortunately, we've reached the point in our program where there's time for only one last question, and that would be, do you have or are you planning a co-housing spoke?
We wouldn't have a meeting without somebody asking that, and no, we're not. But I know it's a very hot topic, it's very important, and somebody asked at the beginning about political activism. We don't do that, but I think this whole issue of co-housing is something that is very valuable to keep track of, and if some of our members want to get involved, or board members even, let's go for it, because I think it's a very important issue for aging adults.
Good. Our thanks. Let's thank Gail Geary for her talk tonight. We also thank our audience here, as well as those listening to the recording, and now this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California, commemorating its 108th year of enlightened discussion, is adjourned.